Hello, welcome to the Good Ship Illustration Podcast. We're here to offer no-nonsense advice to illustrators and image makers navigating a creative career. In the Good Ship, there are three of us, I'm Katie Chappell, and there's Helen Stevens and Tanya Willis too. We are celebrating our flagship course, Find Your Creative Voice, Fly Your Freak Flag, being open this week. So we've got lots of episodes all about finding your creative voice. So this is a question that we get kind of all the time, daily, and not directly, but we just see glimmers of it, like in our online community and in the live calls and on Instagram and things in the DMs. And it's people wondering like how long finding your creative voice takes. And not even in just like a commercial sense, like making a living from being an illustrator, but just, you know, in feeling confident about your work, making work that feels good, sharing it with the world, that kind of thing. Mm.
People ask how long the course is as well, how long it takes to do the course, which is a similar difficult question to answer because the course is actually literally 8 weeks, but you have lifetime access and you can do it at your own pace.
Which is what we'd advise, wouldn't we? Yeah. I think if someone just went straight through 8 weeks, I think that would have been a little bit overwhelming. Mm. You couldn't necessarily be in a full-time job to do that. So we'd advise, because most people are in a job, that you just eke it out in a way that suits you, in a way that suits your life. Maybe it takes you 3 months to go through it, or you do a quick skim to begin and go back and then start again, spending longer on the things that speak to you and taking time.
Mm. And finding your creative voice sort of lasts forever, annoyingly.
I feel like it lasts forever. It's like saying, I want to have this ideal life. You know, it's the way you live your life as well. You're always improving it, aren't you? You're always rearranging where you keep the cutlery in your drawer, or how you're going to sort out where your clothes are stored. Or like your whole life is full of decisions that are trying to improve things. And I think it's like that with your work as well, isn't it?
So true. It's like the never-ending project. But it's a good project. It's a fun project to work on.
Yeah. And we really help people pull it into shape quickly with the Freak Flag course. I mean, it's still a lifetime work,
but we're helping speed it up.
Exactly, yeah. We've kind of signpost everybody in the right direction.
Yeah, I think they're not shortcuts as such, and I think you wouldn't want to expect that you will be a fully formed illustrator at the end of doing an 8-week course. And some people do have those expectations, but it's all about developing yourself, like Helen said, and becoming a more creative person. But once you can start looking at a series of images that you've made that look like that they were made by the same hand, they've got consistency. Mm. They stand out in that they are not like a load of other illustration. You're not making yourself a cookie color cutter illustrator to be sent straight out into the world. You need to be valued for what you make, and that needs to be quite unique. So that's what we try to help you do, is become yourself.
Mm. Yeah, so there's lots of ingredients to it, isn't there? Because you're developing your taste, your own taste, and then you're also developing your confidence in your own work and your ability to like appreciate what you do and think, actually, this is valuable. Mm. Like, my work is going to help with whatever.
And we talk about the gap a lot, don't we? The taste gap, which is a big, it's real. The taste gap is real. Yeah. You know, you probably love, I'm sure you have loads of things that you would put all over your wall, like an external Pinterest sheet. You've got great taste, but what you make might not match up to that. And that's a real body blow sometimes, isn't it, when you start? And a lot of people get knocked off course because the gap is large. But if you know it's going to be there and you're forewarned, and if you're in the early stages of your career, you can deal with it. You'll get there, but perseverance is a really large part of a good illustrator's skill. Because like you said, there's lots of people you've seen who've been really talented, but they don't follow through and don't keep pushing.
Yeah, don't get their work out there.
Because I always thought, growing up, that was all you needed, was to be really good at drawing. Yeah. But then when you look at the pie chart of being a successful illustrator, being able to draw is a tiny slice.
Yeah.
And there's so much other stuff involved. Like, I was really angry about that, actually. It's true. You're like, how have they got that published? It's rubbish.
I was quite pleased when I found out that, because my dad was a car salesman, and I thought, oh, this is great, because I really like art, but there's a bit of me that really loves hearing about what my dad does. So it felt to me like brilliant. A bit of me that seemed like when I was at art school, the fact my dad sold cars was just like a bit embarrassing. He wasn't a great artist or a writer. But actually, when I left art school, I thought, that's brilliant. I've got this extra ingredient.
Superpower.
Yeah.
The entrepreneur. What did your dad used to say? Throw a lot of...
Throw enough mud at the wall and some of it will stick. That means send out samples to everybody all the time.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's what your dad got your career on the road, yeah. Didn't he, really? It's with his very wise advice. Mm. But then you were saying, Katie, that only, what did you say, out of your course, how many people became illustrators from a course of, what, 28, 30?
Off the top of my head, like who I've stayed in touch with and sort of peripherally seen, I think like 3 or something, a very
wow.
sad percentage. But then people, I think part of the developing a creative voice and things, a big part of that is perseverance, isn't it? Because it's not exactly. instant. And it's so easy to be like, oh, it's not working. I'll just go back to my job and stuff it. Never meant to get, it was never going to happen. But I think the people who do become illustrators and do find their creative voice and make a success of it, whatever success is to you, mm-hmm. are the people that kind of throw enough mud at the wall and see what sticks. Like, yeah. They keep going and keep going mm-hmm. and try new things. And even that perfect life analogy, like, you know, consistently just keep improving tiny things, and even if it's just like a 0.5% improvement,
it all accumulates.
And learning on the job has been really vital for me. So I didn't really know what I was doing, but I got my first book published and I learned a lot doing that book, and I still didn't really know what I was doing, and I learned a bit more on the next book. Like, it's very hard to motivate yourself to learn it without a reason to do it. So I just jumped straight in with absolutely no clue what I was doing and just learned as I went, like an amazing apprenticeship.
Best way.
Yeah.
But there's also, in this time thing, there's also a case to be made for the part-time job, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you can start slowly on a low risk level rather than going all in, because then if you're not getting enough jobs, you can, it makes you feel like you're a failure pretty quickly, because if you're not getting enough money to live on, you know, you think, well, this isn't happening quick enough. But if you keep the part-time job going, you can afford to take those risks and maybe do a few jobs.
You could turn down the jobs that you don't want to do, the ones that don't feel like a good fit, which is brilliant.
Yeah, because you've got the financial. I always felt like if my part-time job paid my rent and bills, anything else was a bonus. Mm. And then, it did mean that. Like if somebody got in touch and they tried to lowball the budget, I'd be like, nah. Mm. I'm not your illustrator. Whereas if I had no other financial income, I'd be like, yes, anything. Yeah, I think that graspy, desperate energy, people can sense it, can't they? But if you've got like a, not smugness, that's the word.
Like, you know, safety belt of I've got a job.
Like, I'm not going to go for that because I'd rather just not be working.
Don't want to end up taking any job. I remember when I first left art school, I was just telling you guys this a bit earlier, but a friend of mine said that she would pay me to do a card for her dad. I think it was a retirement card. And I said no immediately. And then she said, no, it won't take you very long. It's just a quick one. It's just a drawing of my dad playing golf and a naked woman in the bushes.
Dream job.
Why did you say no?
If you'd got that in your early career portfolio, imagine the jobs it would have led to.
Imagine, where would I be now?
Bawdy postcard. Illustrator.
That actually sounds quite good fun. She said she would pay me with a lottery ticket, by the way.
No way.
Oh, to add insult to it. Yeah, insult to injury.
Yeah, that part-time job at the Science Museum was excellent.
Because they say whatever you do more. There's some phrase like that. If you, what you do, you'll keep doing. Mm. So if your first jobs in your really crucial portfolio are things that you accepted but aren't really proud of in the end, and you put them in, and there's bound to be someone who says, oh, I love that golfer with the naked woman. And they'll have loads of ideas. And that will be your career. It will take off in that direction.
We get asked this quite a lot in the course, don't we, where people have ended up in a direction they didn't really want to go in, and they feel more certain what their creative voice is now, and they want to do more of this, but they don't know what to put on their website, because if they put the old work, you're guaranteed to get more work like that, but they haven't really done a lot of the new year work yet. But it is really important, isn't it, to just don't show anybody the stuff you don't like, because you're just going to be stuck in that rut of doing that forever.
It's a Sod's Law thing. There's always someone who loves your worst work. It's a bit like roughs. If you include a rough version of something you don't like, the other two you love. Somehow there was even
the
art director.
No, they always pick that one, don't they?
You almost have to put blinkers on and think, I don't want to understand why that law works. It doesn't mean that my best ideas are rubbish. Because you've got to believe in yourself, haven't you? Which is the confidence thing as well. Perseverance, confidence,
Yeah, and there's that thing of never offer something you wouldn't be happy to give. Like, it's life advice for people. Like, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, I can't do that day, but I'll do this other thing instead. And you're like, don't take me up on that offer. Don't take, like, the best option is to not even make that offer. Yeah. And the same with your portfolio. Like, don't show the work in the first place. Because then you won't be in those sticky positions where you're like, I don't want to do this.
Why? Yeah. That's where that self-initiated is the way to go, isn't it?
If you put
the work in the portfolio that you want to do, even if it wasn't a job, take the time to do your own work. So some people feel like their validation only comes when it's a real job, and then they become a real illustrator. But you become an illustrator the moment you start making work and putting it out there, making yourself available for work. That is you being an illustrator.
That's the stuff that's really hard to do by yourself, isn't it? Like, look at your website, change what direction you're going in, do self-initiated work that's on purpose, intentionally. And I think that's when doing a course with a community and other people doing the same thing is so valuable, because you can go and be like, this is really scary. Mm-hmm. And then three other people will be like, I know. But then you carry on doing it because you've got, you know, other people to buoy you along. And
the Facebook group is so good for that, especially when, you know, the first cohort come in, they say, hello, I'm from wherever, I'm from Hereford, and I've been working for a couple of years, but I'm really nervous about becoming part of this community or doing this course. I don't know whether my work's good enough. The old famous one, a bit of self-deprecation. And everyone kind of gathers around them and says, don't worry, we all felt like that when we first joined. And, you know, your work's great, and you'll feel confident by the end of this. You'll have a lot more certainty about your work. So, yeah, the community is another part of the confidence building. And giving you realistic expectations about, you know, how long it takes to get that creative voice going.
A long time, but it's worth it.
What have we got? Anything nice to read for people?
Yeah, maybe a testimonial.
Let's find one.
I found one here.
Oh, good.
The course is exactly what I've needed at this point. An abundance of ideas to rekindle the joy of drawing, making, and exploring.
Nice. Whee!
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Are we doing art club this Friday?
Art club doors to the Find Your Creative Voice course close at art club. And if you love art club, we run it every now and again. We used to do it every single Friday, didn't we?
Not anymore.
We do special pop-up ones. So if you don't want to miss them, you need to sign up for our emails.
Yeah, 5 second animal is the best bit as well, isn't it?
Oh.
Someone told me that this morning. They said, I love art club, but you know, the best bit is 10 second animal.
Helen's favourite.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, we'll hopefully see you there.
See you at art club.
Bye.